Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Translation. O Narada, now I shall state one after another the transcendental incarnations of the Lord, known as Leela Avatars. Hearing of their activities counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ear. These pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Therefore, they are in my heart. Purport. As it was said in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 158, one cannot be fully satisfied by hearing unless and until one is given a chance to hear of the transcendental activities of the Lord. So Brahmaji is also trying in this verse to stress the importance of narrating the transcendental pastimes of the Lord as He comes and manifests Himself here on the surface of the material planets. Every living entity has a tendency to hear pleasing messages, and as such, almost every one of us is inclined to hear news and talk broadcast by the radio stations. But the difficulty is that one is not satisfied at heart by hearing all those messages. The cause of such dissatisfaction is the incompatibility of the message with the innermost stratum of the living soul. The transcendental literature is specially prepared by Srila Vyasadeva to give the utmost satisfaction to the people in general by narration of the activities of the Lord, as instructed by Narad Muni to Srila Vyasadeva. Such activities of the Lord are principally of two varieties. One concerns the mundane manifestation of the material creative force, and the other deals with His pastimes in the form of different incarnations in terms of the time and place. There are innumerable incarnations of the Lord, like the waves of the river flowing constantly in and out. Less intelligent persons take more interest in creative forces of the Lord in the material world, and being disconnected from their relationship with the Lord, they put forward many theories of creation in the name of scientific research. The devotees of the Lord, however, know well how the creative forces work concurrently by the action and reaction of the material energy of the Lord. Therefore, they take more interest in the transcendental activities of the Lord as He incarnates Himself on the surface of the material world. Srimad Bhagavatam is the history of such activities of the Lord. And people who take interest in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam clear their hearts accumulated mundane filth. There are 1,001 rash literatures on the market, but one who has taken interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam loses all interest in such filthy literatures. Sri Brahmaji is thus attempting to narrate the principal incarnations of the Lord so that they may be drunk by Narada as transcendental nectar. Thus ends Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Purusha Shukta. Confirmed. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we have Lord Brahma giving a prelude to Narad Muni of what he is now going to speak on. So far, Lord Brahma has spoken on the Purusha avatars, specifically Lord's incarnations as Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and he's spoken in such a way that is in relationship with the Maya Shakti, Lord's external potency. So now, he's going to speak about the Leela avatars. And these avatars, he's going to speak in relationship to his internal potency, Chit Shakti, or his pleasure-giving potency, like that. So therefore here, I've spoken about this, now I'm going to speak about the Leela avatars. I've spoken about Purusha avatars, now the Leela avatars. What are the benefits of hearing of the Leela avatars and the activities of the Leela avatars, the pastimes? So here in this verse, we have Lord Brahma citing the benefits. Now by hearing about the Leela avatars, right, all foul matters accumulated in the ear, right, would be counteracted, number one. And number two, one will experience pleasure like that. Okay? So in this way he is preparing Narad Muni, right, to hear about the pastimes, the intimate pastimes of the Lord. The Leela avatars, the wonderful activities of the Lord. Just now he's been speaking about creation and how Lord is involved in creation, how he deals with his external potency. And now, immediately after this chapter, he's going to speak about how the Lord deals with his internal potency, how he utilizes his internal potency to have various exchanges with the devotees, and to perform various pastimes by which living entities like ourselves may be attracted to the Lord, and in this way go back to Godhead. So the first verse, first word in this text is Pradhan Yataha. So there are many, Prabhupada says, there are many incarnations, avatars of the Lord coming and going, just as there are many tides coming and going on the ocean. So, Pradhan Yata, chiefly, he will only describe the chief incarnations. Right. So, therefore he says, O Narada, now I shall state one after another. Right. So not necessarily in hierarchy, in terms of time, but one after another. And only the chief incarnations, the important incarnations, or those incarnations which perform wonderful pastimes by which we can all be attracted to. The transcendental incarnation of the Lord known as Leela avatars. Okay, Leela avatars. Sometimes certain other incarnations are also counted under Leela avatars, because the other incarnations also perform certain activities by which the living entities are attracted to the Supreme Lord, like that. Hearing of their activities counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ear. So this is interesting. Foul matter are accumulated in the ear, and these are counteracted by hearing the Lord's pastimes, the wonderful activities of the Lord. So, the immediate, when you look at this, the immediate thought is, does it remove earwax? Right? Because if you look at the wording, that's what it sounds like. So maybe if you chant them loudly, if you chant the Lord's pastimes loudly, or someone is chanting loudly and you're hearing them, maybe the earwax will also be removed as well. You know, like that. But what does it mean, counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ear? I don't know if devotees have any thoughts. Where is the foul matter accumulated? Is it in the ear? In the heart. Okay, what is the heart? Here, like, here Prabhupada is trying to say it's in the ear, but heart is here, so is it accumulated here? Where specifically here? Through the ear. So foul matter is accumulated in the heart, through the ear. Okay? What other terms can there be for in terms of heart? Yeah? Antrangabu?
There's one very interesting point on this one. Baladavidya Bhushan is mentioning in a commentary to verse Bahunam Janmanante Gyanamamam Prapadyante, and then he said Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So he gives an explanation what Vasudeva Sarvamiti means. It means that the ear or the receptive organ of hearing is called also considered to be like prana, like a life force. So Baladavidya Bhushan puts all the like mind, then the hearing apparatus, tasting and seeing underneath the influence of prana or the life air, life force. So when you hear, basically means this, that life force, and if you hear correctly Krishna conscious activities, that actually brings true life to the individual soul, rather than the, as you said, the earwax.
So where exactly is the dull matter, right, or foul matter accumulated? In the prana?
Yes.
In the Bhagavatam, there's one verse which says that the living entity, ourselves, the soul, is suspended in the life airs, right? And life air is a medium by which the communication is there between the living entity and the gross matter, right? Or the subtle matter, mind, intelligence, ego, and so on, right? However, the living entity, the spirit soul, is never affected by or in contact with gross matter. Is in contact through the life airs. There's one verse in Bhagavatam which speaks like this, and Prabhupada explains like that. So where exactly is the foul matter accumulated? So it's definitely not up here, right? In the middle ear, in the inner ear. And if it's in the prana, how is it in the prana? We have the gross sense of hearing, right, which is the ear, right? And then there is the subtle sense of hearing, right? There is the actual hearing. There is the apparatus for hearing, which is the ear. And then there is the subtle aspect, the hearing itself. So hearing itself is done where? Or seeing, where are we actually seeing? Are we seeing through the eyes? Are we seeing in the eyes? Are we hearing in the ear? In the mind? Yeah, in the mind. Right? It's in the mind. And sense of hearing is connected with the mind. Sense of sight, sense of taste is in the mind actually. It's not where the ear is, or it's not where the eyes is. And then the mind communicates this, right, to the intelligence, false ego, like this, into the spirit soul, right? So there is this through the life airs, right? So here where Prabhupada is saying counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ear, right? All reception is actually received in the mind, right? Senses are connected with the mind. All things are received in the mind, right? Then they are processed accordingly. So the foul matter is accumulated in the mind. Now, where is the mind? Right? Where is the mind? So, sometimes you said mind is everywhere, spread throughout our body. But I don't know if that kind of, some devotees feel that that doesn't make sense. It's consciousness that spread throughout our body. Right? And the source of that consciousness is somewhere in the heart. Right? Like that. And then the heart, within the heart is the spirit soul. Yeah? And then spirit soul is covered by various layers and is suspended in the life airs. So, dull matter, whatever, is within the mind, right? And where the living entity is so much connected with the mind and the body, right, and the subtle body, we think we are the mind, we think we are the body, right? Like this. So here Prabhupada is saying, is the ear, but when we kind of think deeply, it means it's in the mind. Right, it's within the mind, and we're so deeply connected with the mind, right, we take it as ourself. Yeah. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur really doesn't speak so much about the ear. He says hearing the pastimes of the Lord dries up desire to hear other topics, mundane topics. That's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. So he doesn't mention the ear. There is another verse with Lord Kapila cites through Mother Devahuti. Satam prasangan mama viryo samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha bhavanti ritkarna. So the pastimes and the activities of the Lord discussed amongst the devotees, right, are pleasing to the ear and the heart. There Srila Prabhupada is mentioned both ear and the heart, is pleasing to both the ear and the heart. Right? Ear or the heart, or ear in the heart, I don't know. Right? Ear or the heart. Ear and the heart. Yep. The pleasure is actually experienced, right, in the mind. Right? Displeasure is experienced in the mind. The dull matter is within the mind. You know, like that. So, by pastimes of the Lord, then this dull matter is dried up. Right? Or there is desire. Desire is also within the mind as well. The desire is evaporated for other mundane topics. Yeah. Here, counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ear. The pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Certain things are not pleasing and are not relishable. Yeah. There are other things which are relishable but may not be pleasing in the beginning. We have the example which Rupa Goswami gives in the Nectar Instruction. He says, in the beginning stages, the holy name may taste so bitter. But as one progresses in spiritual life, then one experiences the sweetness. As one chants more and more, without offenses and with attention, then one experiences the sweetness. So certain things are relished, but they may not be pleasing. Right? Especially in the initial stages. Right? So we have certain things which are not pleasing and are not relishable. We have things which are not pleasing but may be relishable later on, right? Here we have pastimes of the Lord which are pleasing and they are to be relished. They are to be relished. Yeah. So that's interesting. Pastimes of the Lord are pleasing and they are to be relished. Certain things are pleasing in the beginning, but they are not recommended to be relished, or they are not relishable. Yeah, sense gratification is pleasing, but is not relishable. Is not recommended that one should relish in this, because there's going to be more and more suffering. One should not engage in this more. So pastimes of the Lord are particularly pleasing, and they are to be relished. So Lord Brahma is recommending that this is pleasing and also It's to be relished. So continue hearing these pastimes. Not like sense gratification is pleasing, and then you can, then you are to relish those, like that. So in this way, Lord Brahma is continuing. Therefore, he says, because these pastimes of the Lord, these activities of the Lord, especially enacted by the Leela avatars, because they are pleasing and are to be relished, therefore they are in my heart. So things which are pleasing, right, they usually stay within our heart. They usually stay within our mind. Memory is also in our mind as well. Mind is a storehouse of all experiences, all memories. So therefore, things which are pleasing are easily remembered. Right? And Lord Brahma is saying, therefore they are in my heart. Because these pastimes are pleasurable, they are in my heart. They are in me. They are in the core of myself. Yeah. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains slightly differently here. He says, Lord Brahma is saying, describing these pastimes are also pleasing. Not just hearing these pastimes are pleasing and are to be relished, but describing these pastimes are also pleasing. Like that. So, in this way, Lord Brahma is explaining to Narad Muni and really emphasizing the importance of hearing the activities of these Leela avatars, the benefits of activities, the wonderful activities of the Leela avatars, and how they can be recited, like he's going to recite, and they can be heard. And in both cases, this will give pleasure, and these are to be relished. Right? Reciting them, right? We should recite them, we should hear them, and in this way, these are to be relished. How many of us are interested in having a personal exchange with the Supreme Lord, with Krishna, like Mother Yashoda, like the Gopas, like the Gopis? Right? Personal exchange, personal loving exchange with the Lord. Yeah? So more or less all of us. Yeah? So the persons who are engaged in this relationship, right, they're engaged in what is called kevala prema. Right? Kevala prema. Unmixed. Unmixed love of God. They have what is called unmixed love of God. Kevala prema. There is something called mahatma gyan prema as well. Yeah? And that's love of Godhead, where there is awe and reverence for the Lord. One appreciates the supremacy of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord, so on and so forth. So generally we find this in the Vaikuntha realms, you know, like this, where there is great awe and reverence for the Lord. There is relationship with the Lord, but it may not be as personal as we may find in Kevala Prema in the residence of Vrindavan. Right? So in this way, there is a difference between two types of perfection. Right? We have Kevala Prema, we have Mahatma Gyan Prema. One is tinged with awe and reverence and appreciation of majesty of the Lord. The other, there is no limitations, no boundaries, no restrictions. We don't care if he's God or not. We just love him. He's my friend. He's my lover. He's my son. You know, like that. So this is Kevala Prema, unmixed, pure love of God. The way to Mahatma Gyan Prema, the prema which is mixed with awe and reverence, is bhava matured through sadhana bhakti. The way to Kevala Prema is bhava matured through raganuga sadhana bhakti. Right? So then, the question is, Bhava is an effect. Bhava is an effect, so we can't really do much about it. It's an effect. It's a result. So we know that we do our activities, we endeavor, and then there is a certain result, and we're not really in charge of that result. We can't really control that result. Yeah? So bhava is an effect. But then what about raganuga sadhana bhakti? What about raganuga sadhana bhakti? At the moment, we're engaged in vedi sadhana bhakti. And if we continue with vedi sadhana bhakti, and we perfect vedi sadhana bhakti, then we'll come to mahatma gyan, prema. We won't come to kevala prema. But kevala prema is only achieved through raganuga sadhana bhakti. So the question is, how does one engage in raganuga sadhana bhakti? How does one come to the point of raganuga sadhana bhakti? How does one transit from vedi sadhana bhakti to raganuga sadhana bhakti? Right? If we want to have that intimate relationship with the Lord, foregoing awe and reverence, and we're just interested in that exchange, in that love to Krishna. So therefore it is important for us to know how to come to the point of raganuga sadhana bhakti. Right? So it is said that one can practice raganuga sadhana bhakti when there is lobha. Lobha. When there is an intense greed, intense spontaneous desire to be in a particular relationship with Krishna. Otherwise one can't engage in raganuga sadhana bhakti. It will be just some concoction, some speculation, and we'll end up committing offenses like that. So there must be lobha, spontaneous, intense desire to be in a specific relationship with the Lord. How does that come? How does one come to that point? So one must be situated on the point, on the stage of nishtha. Right? So nishtha is firm, matured faith, firm conviction. Right? Or it translates as constant attentive sadhana. That's nishtha. Not just sadhana, not just constant sadhana, but that sadhana must be attentive all the time. Right? So we must chant constantly and we must be attentive, not just sometimes, all the time. That's nishtha. So we must be situated on the platform of nishtha, right? For us to have that intense desire to be in a specific relationship with the Lord and therefore engage in raganuga sadhana bhakti. Right? So then, how do we come to the point of nishtha? We must be free from all the unwanted things which are within our heart. Right? The contamination, the foul matter. Yeah? We must be free from the foul matter, the dirt that's there, the anarthas that are there. Yeah, so the anarthas are the things which are not, which are stopping us from being attentive and also for us to engage constantly in our chanting of the holy names of the Lord, for example. So anarthas are the things that are stopping us. The various unwanted desires that are there, material desires that have been accumulated for many, many lifetimes. And we're still continuing to, you know, kind of develop. And we're still working, we're still putting layers and layers of these anarthas, you know, like that, as we're still practicing devotional service. Right? So, how does one become free from anarthas? Right? We have to have taste. Right? So then it's almost like a vicious circle. Right? We must have taste to overcome anarthas. Right? However, anarthas cannot be overcome without taste, right? Similar to attraction for devotional service and then engaging in devotional service is there, right? So one engages in devotional service and then there is attraction to devotional service. And when there is attraction to devotional service, then one engages in devotional service. So then how does one, you know, where does one get the inspiration to first engage in devotional service? For there to be attraction for devotional service, and therefore to engage further in devotional service. So therefore, there is the mercy factor, right? That's said, and specifically the Madhyamadhikari intervenes into a life of someone, right? Generally, it's the Madhyamadhikari. So what about in this situation? We have anartha nivritti and taste. Yeah? What do we do in this situation? What happens here? Do we just kind of not do anything and, you know, wait for some miracle to happen? You know, like that. And then hopefully there'll be taste. Or hopefully the anarthas will be vanquished. And then therefore then we'll be situated on nishtha. Therefore then we'll have an intense desire to be in a specific relationship with the Lord, right? And then therefore engage in raganuga sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and then kevala prema, like that. So here, this specific translation is also a key to way into raganuga sadhana bhakti. This is the key. The key to, right, attraction to devotional service and devotional engaging in devotional service is mercy. Here the key is hearing the pastimes of the Lord, specifically the Leela avatars. That's the key. We continue hearing the wonderful activities of these incarnations. What will happen is, here Lord Brahma is saying, foul matter in the heart or in the ear, will start to disappear. They'll be counteracted, number one. And number two, taste will start to develop. Pleasing, right? Brahma is saying, it will become pleasing and it is to be relished. Brahma is almost ordering, this is what you should do. You should relish this. Don't relish anything else. Relish this. Engage yourself in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And then in this way, as you hear, nashta prayesu abhadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevaya. Right? Regularly, as you hear, foul matter will start to disappear. You will start to develop taste. And then at some point, you will start to develop an intense desire to be in a specific relationship with the Lord. As foul matter disappears, you will be situated at nishtha. Right? And at that point, what will happen? We will start to develop an intense desire to be in a specific relationship with the Lord, right? And then at that point, we can practice raganuga sadhana bhakti, right? And what are the practices of raganuga sadhana bhakti? Right? There are a few things, but I'll just mention a couple of things. One situates themselves in Vrindavan, right? So physically, that's one thing, but more importantly is mentally, right? So somehow one places themselves in Vrindavan, pastimes in Vrindavan. The loving exchange is between the devotee and the Lord in Vrindavan, according to the intense desire that you developed of a specific relationship with the Lord. So in Vrindavan, you're thinking of that devotee, right? That you also have the desire to serve the Lord in that particular way, like this. So then you place yourself in Vrindavan, right? And then secondly, you absorb in the service mood of that devotee, right? So for example, we absorb in the service mood of Rupa Goswami, right? And we also absorb in the service mood of Rupa Manjari, you know, like that. Yep. So we serve Rupa Goswami. We try to develop the mood of Rupa Goswami, right? We try to find out what are the engagements of Rupa Goswami, right? And in this way, follow in his footsteps, right? And as one does that, then also one gets to find out about Rupa Manjari. There are also literatures, and then senior devotees can also guide us into the mood of Rupa Manjari and the activities of Rupa Manjari. And in this way, follow in the footsteps of Rupa Manjari, serve Rupa Manjari, and in this way, come to developing that particular relationship with the Lord, and then having that relationship where there is no boundaries, there is no like He is God, I am His servant, you know, like this. It's just I just love Krishna, and I just love to be with Krishna. I love to have exchanges with Krishna, you know, like that. So really, this particular verse is a key. It's a clue in terms of how we can break away from sadhana bhakti and enter into raganuga sadhana bhakti. And then therefore then bhava bhakti and then kevala prema, like that. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments? Maybe we'll take maybe one or two and then we'll stop. So, Pulkit Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for the class. you mentioned Loba, which is after Nishta in your explanation, where we develop some Loba, and you mentioned very briefly two definitions, once intense greed and also intense desire. And I was just wondering if you could perhaps elaborate on the distinction between the two and how they appear, because greed is also, by what we understand, an anartha, or something that is not conducive. So, yeah, can you elaborate on the difference?
So here the term loba is used in terms of greed for a particular relationship with Krishna. So desire to be in a particular relationship with Krishna. And this is quite spontaneous. Right? It's not like, okay, I will develop a particular, I'm going to start to work on a particular, relationship with Krishna. It's due to us hearing the pastimes of the Lord, us being free from all the faults within our heart, and us being engaged in the activities of sadhana. In a very, very much a pure way, you know, like that, free from aparad, free from contamination. So imposed greed. It's not an imposed greed. So as you make progress, as you hear the pastimes of the Lord, you will start to develop a certain inclination towards a certain relationship with the Lord, certain pastimes of the Lord. And that gets nurtured as one continues to hear the pastimes of the Lord, you know, like that. And as one continues to associate with devotees, advanced devotees, be guided by advanced devotees, and so on. And as one situates one themselves in Vrindavan, like that. Yeah. There was a Narhari Prabhu had a question. Then we'll come to others.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Just a little comment, really. You know, because we're at quite a distance in terms of following a resident of Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. We're quite a distance because, to Rupa Goswami and so on, and his sarup in the spiritual world. So, the easiest thing for us at our stage is to follow the resident of Vrindavan. And that is Srila Prabhupada.
Mm.
I just wanted to keep that with more emphasis.
Definitely. Yeah, we are Rupa Nugas, but more precisely, more specifically, we are Prabhupada Nugas. You know, like that. And whatever Srila Prabhupada is giving to us is inspired by Rupa Goswami. Because him staying in Radha Damodar temple, having various exchanges, and serving Rupa Goswami, you know, like that. So here Srila Prabhupada is telling us in the purport, engage in the pastimes of the Lord. Hear these attentively, right? Speak these pastimes and do this regularly. Do this regularly, right? Read regularly. Yeah? Smar Hari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful deep class. I just had a question. You were speaking how hearing is the key. So I was wondering from your own experience if you could share some practical tips on how we can develop that taste for reading, for hearing pastimes of the Lord.
I was going to we were going to kind of have like a discussion and then kind of list like so many things that will help us to, you know, read more, hear more, you know, like that, in such a way so then we can make progress quickly like that. Other devotees can also share. One thing that I'm experimenting at the moment with is reading and hearing in the association of the devotees. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says this. When it comes to honoring prasad, you should do on your own, eating. And Prabhupada used to do that. Many of the times Prabhupada would eat on his own. There's photos of Prabhupada honoring prasad on his own. When it comes to studying, reading scripture, then you should do in twos. You know, like that. Bhakti, at least twos, two, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So at the moment I'm experimenting with reading with other devotees, you know, like that, together. You know, like that. So in this way, we're kind of, you know, we've got two minds, two ways to kind of understand something, trying to understand what Prabhupada is saying, how we should apply that. We're also keeping each other awake, you know, like that. We also share each other's realization and what's helping each other, and therefore, will be helpful and useful for each other, you know, like this. So that's one thing that I'm experimenting with at the moment. The other thing is somehow keeping to a certain schedule, you know, almost like as one has a bath every day at a certain time, right, or eats at a certain time, does certain things in the day, right, specific times in the day. Similarly, being very particular and strict about reading or hearing the pastimes of the Lord or speaking the pastimes of the Lord, like that. So these two things I find are very, you know, I'm experimenting with and I'm finding them helpful. And being strict in terms of this is the times where I read, this is the times where I hear, you know, like that. I don't know if devotees have other thoughts. How can we develop our hearing more, our reading more, you know, like this. Reading is also a type of hearing, right? And remember, ultimately, it's heard in the mind. Whether we read or we hear through the ear, you know, like that. It's accepted in the mind. All the senses are connected in the mind, right? So the real taste is experienced in the mind, you know, like that, or heart. Any other thoughts in terms of things that may help us each other? Keshav Maharaj?
Thank you for the wonderful class. Not so much on this, but just on the point of Raganuga Bhakti. And naturally there's always some reservation about that and some caution in approaching such things. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he mentions nicely that for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Siddha Pranali mantra is Trinadapi Suni Chena. And also Shivram Maharaj discusses this in his books as well about approaching Raganuga Bhakti. The Gaudiyas, their journey to Raganuga Bhakti is very much through Nam Sankirtan. And Nam Sankirtan in the mood of a humble, tolerant, respectful servant. And so along with the angas of bhakti that we do, I think that is an encouraging way for devotees to practically and also safely try to approach such things through having more and more of an emphasis on Nam Sankirtan. And that means not just their own personal japa, but then kirtan together, and also then Nagar Sankirtan, and going out and sharing the name. So serving and sharing the name, and then Nam becomes the way of the Gaudiyas to approach higher levels of.
Yeah, thank you. So we must be guided by the devotees. We must do chanting of the holy names, cite the pastimes of the Lord in the association of the devotees. And there's a pastime, one of the god brothers of Srila Prabhupada approached him for some medication, right? He said, can you make me a formula for some body problem that I have? And then as Prabhupada was kind of getting things together, some medication, some things together, his godbrother said, can you also give me a formula? Can you also make arrangements for a formula so then I can attain love of God? You know, like that. So then Prabhupada handed him something, some medication for his gross body. And then this devotee was waiting, his godbrother's waiting, okay, what about the other formula? So then Prabhupada said, the formula for love of God, Ishtranadapi sunichena tarorapi seisnuna amani namanadena kirtanya sadari. So this is the formula to attain love of God. You know, like that. This godbrother was saying, you have love of God, I don't have. Give me the formula, you know how to attain love of God. So Prabhupada said, this is the way to attain love of God. So it must be done in humility, citation of the pastimes of the Lord. However, we're engaging in devotional service done, must be done in humility, in the association of the devotees and guided by the devotees. Right? And it shouldn't be imposed, you know, like that. Whatever we're thinking of now, our relationship with the Lord, it's actually our material contamination. The actual relationship may be completely different, you know, like that. And that has to be revealed, you know, like that. Through this process, following this process, and with this mood of humility, like that, being very cautious. Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. Maybe one or two points, and then we'll stop in terms of what will help us to develop. More kind of enthusiasm for hearing and reading.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Puri. Yeah. Just something that I'm realizing more and more with reading. Is that quality is better than quantity. Yeah. And even like, I used to have this misconception that, you know, I have to study for like 2-3 hours a day. And if I'm not doing that, then I don't do it at all. Mm-hmm. And it means that I don't do it at all. So one of my Shiksha gurus recommended that I read for like 10-15 minutes and then write down any, you know, reflections, realizations, anything that stuck out to me from what I've read, whatever I've read, mm-hmm. In Prabhupada's books. And that I've been doing a little bit this week, and actually it's been useful, because actually I'm getting something useful from what I'm reading, mm-hmm. something I can maybe apply, or something at least that I'm learning. Yeah. Just not having that expectation has been helpful.
Good, thank you. So sometimes, we're going to sit down, it's going to be 5 hours of reading, and, you know, so many hours of hearing, and so on, you know, like that. But sometimes it's just like, okay, let me just start with something. And let me try to do that every day, you know, like this. So starting off with bouts, you know, few minutes every day. Another thing that may be helpful, although I'm not saying that it's I'm not recommending anything like that, but we all have our different makeup, you know, like this. And, you know, we function in a different way. Our mind, subtle body function in a different way. One other thing I'm experimenting with is... for example, chanting, and then after one or two rounds, then maybe reading something, and then going back into chanting, you know, like that. Right, and then chanting again, you know, like this. Or learning a verse, right, doing a little bit of yoga, then going back to learning the verse again, you know, like that. So if you feel that helps you, main thing is you're actually taking in something. If you feel that helps you, fine. If you think, fine, okay, I will read for so many hours and that helps me and that's how I function, fine. Or you're one of those devotees, okay, I can only do a few minutes a day. Few minutes. You do something else, then you come back, do a few more minutes. You know, like that. Some of the best writers and authors, they don't kind of sit down for many, many hours and write. They take a few minutes in a day to write something. And then another day, a few minutes, like this. The days are so busy, there are maybe many things to do, so on and so forth. There's so many distractions. right? And mind also functions in that way, right? They also, I mean, scientifically, they say we can only focus for, how long is it? 17 minutes. So there are some other figures, like 25 minutes. Some say only a few minutes before the mind goes somewhere else, you know, like this. So, you know, if our mind is such, at least we can, you know, kind of make the most of whatever few minutes we have. You know, like, so the point is, yena tena prakarena, mana Krishna niveshayat. One way or the other, right, try to work out your own way, maybe different, right? But somehow or the other, you're hearing. Somehow or the other, you're chanting. Somehow or the other, you're speaking these pastimes. You're engaging, you know, in hearing about the Supreme Lord. Somehow or the other, like that, work out a way, you know, like this. And then, of course, as we kind of mature more and more, we can start off with a few minutes, then it can be 15 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, right? Then forget the yoga, just learn all the verses, you know, really go deeply into the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Forget breaking up the chanting. Either chant fully, right, or after you've done your so many hours of chanting, right, 8 hours of chanting, then 8 hours of just the hearing and reading. So as one matures, then maybe one can come to that point. But we can start off with something like this. Yeah, I think we should stop here. We've gone well over time. I suppose, in the day, amongst ourselves, we can share with each other other things that may be helpful and that will help us in terms of our hearing and chanting and so on. Right? Hare Krishna. Thank you for your patience. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhaktavinda ki.